Okay, pasuk, we did it. Okay, let's do pasuk tesvav. Perek gimel pasuk tesvav mash mashahoye kvar hu. What was was. Whatever was was. Vasher li yos kvar hayo. What will be already was. V'ho elokim yivakesh es nerdav nekodesh baruch hu. He will elokim yivakesh. Elokim yivakesh es nerdav nekodesh baruch hu. Will seek out the victim. Okay, that's a very powerful word today. In this generation, the word victim is spelled in all caps. Okay, when I grew up, I didn't even know what the word meant. A victim. Today, the victim, everything is all about the victim today. And if you're, so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yivakesh, he seeks the nirdaf, the pursuit. Let's take a look at the Mitzudo Stavit Pasuk Tesvav. The Mitzudo Stavit says, the Mitzudah is a very different interpretation than what we're going through, than what we would assume. It means don't cry over spilled milk. Whatever was was, whatever act of wickedness has been committed, already was done, it cannot be undone. You cannot rewrite the past. You can rewrite history. Rotzolaymar, in me, rodav achar chaveroi, the osimor rof, a person he chased, he pursued, he attacked his friend, and did to him an evil masha osui. What he has done is done. We cannot undo it. Vasher lihios v'cheira. Here is a little bit different. V'chein asher osid lihios od be'acharona sheyirdoif me achar chaveroi. If in the future it's going to happen that one person will attack his friend, lasos imo ra, to do with him ra, kvar hoya hagzera terem asoso, the gzera was already decreed in Hashemayim. If a person is going to be attacked, he's going to be harmed, it already was meant to be from before, already was predetermined. Hashem already has given power to the aggressor to do as he pleases. So basically, everything in this world already, there's nothing to complain about. Don't cry over spilled milk, and whatever is going to be, there's nothing you can do to prevent it from happening. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was goyzer that a certain event is going to happen. Let's see. Elokim Avol. Now that's exactly what it says over the next pasuk. The next end of the pasuk, according to interpretation of the Mitzvah Stavid, Vehu Elokim Avol. Okay, that's a very big but with the capital B. Avol. Im Kol Zeh Hu Elokim Yivakesh. I'm sorry. Avol Im Kol Zeh Elokim Yivakesh and Nirdof VYifra Min Haroidei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will seek out the victim and will punish the aggressor. So you're asking the question that this is when it comes to the past, all right, what was, but in the future, if you're telling me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given him powers, it's Bashert Min HaShemayim, so why then is the aggressor punished? It's Gezerah Min HaShemayim. This is the age-old question of why Mitzrayim was punished. Why were they destroyed so severely for what they have done to Klal Yisrael when there was already a Gezerah from the Bris Ben Absarim Va'avodum V'inuyosam Arba Me'oshana. Since already it was predetermined that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave, we were going to go into Golos, so why then did the Egyptians, why then were they punished? The answer is, they did not have to be the one to do it. They did not have to be the one to do it. Someone else could have done it. If they chose to do it, that is indication that they're wicked. Or they went overboard. So here, that's exactly what the Pasuk of Yer says. What was, was. Hashem will take care of the aggressor, of the Russia. What will be, Hashem, what will be is only for the victim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a person to suffer in this world for whatever reason, the gezer is put into play that he'll be allowed to suffer. But it's not, but the one who brings about the suffering, that has not been predetermined. Every single person has bechira chafshis. Hashem has given this power that if you want to go and harm your friend, since Hashem is going to allow this person to suffer for whatever reason, and has to be that he's going to suffer, you have the power to cause him to suffer. But you do not have to be the one that brings about his suffering. Let someone else do it. And if you choose to do it, indeed, you are going to pay the consequences, you're going to pay the price, and that's what it says. Hashem Yivakesh and Nirdof, Hashem seeks. Right, in a Chanami. Okay, in a Chanami. So that's not discussed. That you have to study other sources for. That is not discussed here. It's whatever is meant to be.
In the Iranian crisis, the Messiah of Time says, don't worry about it. What we have to do is our Hishtadlis. No, even though it's whatever the Gzeira is already a Gzeira.
You have to do your Hishtadlis.
You have to do Hishtadlis. It's not that the Hishtadlis will result in good, but
you don't know what the Ishtalus will result in. You don't know what the Ishtalus will result in. You don't know what's up, but you have to do your, what it seems. Ain ledayin elamasha ain of rice.
Might be a good Zer because
they'll just self destruct.
Whilst he says they'll shoot it up and it'll fall right back on them. So
no one knows, but ain ledayin elamasha ain of rice. It appears to be no good. You must do your hishtadlus to prevent it from happening. Will it work? Will not work? That's not your department. You have to do your part. Okay, so that's the similar interpretation according to the Mizuzas. Let's see now Rashi. Rashi pasuk tesvav. Pasuk Rashi says masha hayukvarhu. Rashi is very different than Mitzudos. Ma shehoyeh milufaneinu, kvaru hu asui. Whatever was done from before us already, whatever happened already happened. There's nothing you can do to change the past, like we mentioned. Uri inuhu o shemanuhu. We saw it or we heard it. We've already seen things that have happened in the past. We've heard about things, me'acherim shera'uhu, who have seen it. We have heard reports of events that have occurred from eyewitnesses. V'yesh lanu l'hoyd alav shera'inu, and we can testify that shera'inu, and v'yesh lanu ma'ashayu l'faneinu, one more time, ma'ashayu l'faneinu kvar hu asui. Uriinuhu oishemanuhu me'achedim sheruhu. Next, v'yesh lanu, we can testify, Olav, sheriinu shi'akadosh baruch hu mevakesh es hanirdofim. We also can testify that we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He is always supporting the victim. How do we see this? He gives multiple examples. Yaakov nirdof, Esav Roidev, and Esav was the Roidev, Yaakov was the victim. The Ohav es Yaakov, Hashem loves Yaakov. V'es Esav Sanetze, I hate Esav. Another example, Mitzrayim Roidvim es Yisrael, Mitzrayim Tavu Bayom. What happened to Mitzrayim? Ultimately, they sunk in the sea. They were drowned. V'yishol Holchu B'yod Ramah. Okay, so this is, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always favors the victim. Let's just feed the Rashi. V'asher osin lihiyos od bo acharona, hudug mas masha kvar hoya. Whatever will happen in the future already has happened. We already have a dug, we have an example of what happened in the past. Kasher b'rishayna kein bo acharona, what was in the past will be in the future. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mishana midoisav bo elum, Hashem does not change His midos. Hashem always seeks out the benefit of the victim, even in the future, what was, and that's what's going to be in the future. Hashem will punish the victim to punish it, to exact punishment from the roidif. There's a message according to Rashi. What benefit is there then to the one who does evil? To the bad guy, the end is he'll be punished for his evil deeds. Okay, let's now take a look at the Targum, and then we'll discuss a few things. Pasuk Tesvav, Ma Dehava.
Something has to happen to you.
In the Chanami.
So, you know, if someone goes and kills you, how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu kill for the victim?
Oh, that's in the next. We're not talking about the victim is dead. Let's talk about the victim is alive.
Even, not a victim unless something happens to him.
That's right.
That means there's a gzera.
There's a gzera upon him for whatever reason. But there's no gzera that Reuven has to be the one that carries out the pain. That there's no gzera. Hashem has decided that Shimon has to suffer. The suffering can come about in hundreds, millions of ways. Reuven does not have to be the one that causes Shimon to suffer. If Shimon decides he's going to be the one that caused him to suffer, Reuven will be punished. If Reuven makes that decision, Reuven has bechir chafshis, he will be punished.
Maybe
because
the decree is that Reuven has to be punished for hurting Shimon. You know, maybe.
But that's a separate point. That's a later stage. Now that Reuven has done the aveir, now there is a gezeir that Reuven has to be punished. Who will be the one that will punish Reuven? That's up for grabs. That can come about in many ways. Levi decides, I want to be the one that's going to punish Reuven. So now Levi is a Rasha. Then it's decreed upon Levi. He has to receive punishment. Who's going to be the one that's going to punish Levi? Yehuda. Right? So it's an endless cycle. But at no point in time is there a gezeira that one person is the one that has to be, this has to be the one that's going to cause someone else to suffer. Yes. A shoyeg. Reuven kills him by accident.
He's the major. The other person is shoyeg.
That whether Reuven is going to kill someone by accident?
No.
The Gemara says the Gemara says that the reason why Shimon, let's say Reuven killed Shimon by accident, the reason why Shimon was killed was because Shimon deserved to die.
So the Gzera was already out.
The Gzera was there for Shimon, but the Gzera was not there for Reuven.
So he's being asked to kill somebody else.
Well, the Gemara says that galus is never really an accident. There are three levels. There is a pure accident, and then there is pure premeditated murder, and then there's somewhere in the middle. Pure accident, there is no galus. A person that kills someone by accident, it's obviously not a good thing. Why did it come about to this person that he had killed someone by accident? It's not a pleasant thing, but there is no punishment of galus. It's called the punishment. Your life is disrupted. You have to give up everything. You have to leave your home, your family, go to Ari Miklan. You have to wait there indefinitely. How long are you going to be there? You can decoy in galus until he dies. The Kohen Gadol can live for 50 years, 100 years. You don't know how long he's going to be alive, the Kohen Gadol. So it's definitely a destructive life. And the Gemara says there's guilt. You should have been more careful. Okay, but over here, the Gemara, the Pasuk is telling us, according to Rashi, according to that it's the Dover Pasha, that when it comes to a person, the person suffers, it is predetermined that a person has to suffer. There is no such thing that it's predetermined who is going to be the one that's going to cause someone else to suffer. That is made with bechira chafshus, with free will. And if a person chooses to be the bad guy, he has to suffer the consequences. The classic example is Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim did not have to be the nation that would subject Klal Yisrael to 400 years of servitude. Va'avodum v'gerye zaracha bi'eretz lo lohem. The Torah did not say Mitzrayim. It says a land that does not belong to them. That could have been anyone. That could have been Mitzrayim, it could have been Asher, it could have been Bavel, it could have been America, it could have been Australia. All it said was be'eretz Loi Lohem. Mitzrayim decided it's going to be us. We're going to take advantage. Therefore, they are responsible for their actions, for their free will, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will ultimately pursue, will take up the cause of the victim. Hashem is always on the side of the victim and will punish Mitzrayim for their evil deeds. Okay, let's see the Targum. There are a few things to discuss. Targum says, Moda Hava Min Kadmas Dina HaKvar Hu De'aseh. What already happened. Modu asid lim hevei b'sof yomayo. Now here he says something. Whatever is going to be in the end of days. Okay, the Targum over here alludes to the Yemos Hamashiach, because he did not have to say the words b'sof yomayo. All he had to say was mad asid lim hevei. Whatever will be, will be. That is really what Rashi and the Mitzudas David said. The Targum over here is referring to that what's going to happen in the time of Moshiach at the Kates. Yemos HaMashiach already has been predetermined. Ha-Kvar Hava already was. Ulyoima Dino Rabba. Now he goes into something more spooky. And on the day of the Din HaGadol, the day of the Yom Din Rabba, Asid Hashem L'mispa, Hashem will be toiveya, will demand chashicha, chashicha umiskeina. Hashem will demand chashicha umiskeina min yidohi dirashia dirodef yodei. Chashicha means darkness and calculation. umiskine, a calculation from the hands of the wicked that pursue the righteous person. So the Targum over here says something very scary, that everything that's meant to be in the time of Mashiach already has happened. All of the events of Yemos HaMashiach already to some degree have come true in the past. Just a question of understanding. Well, I'll read you some Midrash in a few moments which elaborates upon this theme. But it's saying, Ein Chadash Tachas HaShemesh. We all think that when Mashiach comes, the world will turn into a whole new order. Today we already have an appreciation of a lot of things that years ago it was impossible to understand. That a lot of things that Yemos HaMashiach, that Chazal talk about, can also work scientifically. Let's talk even about like cloning. Okay, we know today that there all the technology, how there's something cloning. We know the advances in science are something which if we would go back 100, 200, 500 years ago and tell a person you can do such a thing like this, and no one would believe you. Look, even technology, the internet, is it possible you tell someone 1,000 years ago that you can say something and the whole world from beginning to end will know about it in an instant? They will laugh you out. It's nonsense. It's nonsense that it's possible that you can communicate with the entire world in a moment's notice. It doesn't exist. Today, it's davar pashut. Every child has a cell phone. You're connected. You can post you tweet something. It goes viral. The whole world can literally know about it in 1 second. Can that be fathomed years ago? But Chazal talk. They make statements like this about what's going to be Yemos HaMashiach. And today we understand that through technology it can be done scientifically. I mean, I remember once hearing, I don't know if this is true anymore, but they used to use pigs. They used to use that the organs of pigs are very close and similar to human beings, and it was. Heart valves, they still do it, but even other organs, there were even other things we're like, there was, I don't think things are outdated, but they used to say, like they were saying that if you need, let's say you need a kidney or you need a certain thing, so you just go and you go to a pig and you whatever, and you manipulate it and you're able to go and extract it from a pig to a human being, or to harm. So Asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Taher Es HaChazir. Chazal said HaKadosh Baruch Hu will purify the Chazir. The Chazir is a detestable creature. What does it mean Hashem will be Metah the Chazir? We don't understand what that means. That's a possibility. It's ideal. It's perfect to use to heal a human being. Everyone knows the Chazal that Ein Ben David Ba'at Shetichla Pruta Min Hashuk. So that simply means poverty. That is not going to be, the economy will collapse. We know that doesn't have to mean that. Today we're living in a world where there's a movement to do away with coins and dollar bills. Everything is electric. Bitcoins, everything is electric. You have to go on a bus, you can't even use tokens anymore. Everything has to be, can you still use tokens? I don't think so.
No.
You have to only use metro cards. So they took it out? They already took it out?
Take
only metro cards.
10 years.
Take 275.
Okay, it's not possible anymore. So this is that's what the Targum says. Everything that's going to be Yemos HaMashiach, there has been a token fulfillment of this thing already in our time. Okay, before we go into the Midrash Lash review, we have three Mahalchim in the Pasuk. We have the Mitzudas David. He talks about acts of wickedness. The Mitzudas David, we're going to be consistent in the next couple of segments, going to pretty much say the same idea. We're focusing on the Rasha. He turns every Pasuk, more or less, into an act of Rishus.
The Rasha has to read it.
What? And not the tzaddikim. The Rishonim aren't coming to shul on Shmini Atzeres. The ones who are coming to shul on Shmini Atzeres are the tzaddikim. The Amich Kulam tzaddikim. But the Mitzudah stuff, it says that the pasuk refers to Rishonim. The Rasha, what he did, he has done. It's done. And he'll be held accountable. What the Rasha will do to the tzaddik, the suffering the tzaddik will suffer, already it's predetermined. And therefore, there's nothing you can do about it. We'll seek out. According to the parish of Rashi, what do we learn according to Rashi? Rashi says, similar, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem always seeks out the victim, Yaakov Avinu, and Klal Yisrael versus Mitzrayim, and Rash Vasher Osil Lios Udbu Achrona Hu Dugmas Masha Kvar Hoya. Rashi did not focus on Yemos HaMashiach. Rashi just said, this is where Rashi differed with the Mitzudos. Things, the Midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not change. Just like in the past, Hashem was sympathetic towards the victim, in the future Hashem will be sympathetic towards the victim. Hashem will never change his midos. That's different than what the Mitzudos said. The Mitzudos says is that upon the suffering that the tzaddik will suffer, it's predetermined. It's meant to be. You can't wiggle out of it. Unless, of course, I guess like you said, Meir, you mispalo, you do your shtalos to get out of the gzera. But pretty much, if you don't do anything, the punishment of the future is meant to be. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says when it says in the pasuk Vasher lihiyos kvar hoya, it's the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, specifically in regard to having sympathy and empathy for the victim. The Targum goes off the charts and says we're not even talking about this world. We're talking about what's going to be Yimos HaMashiach. And times of Yimos HaMashiach, there's going to be a Yom Hadin. V'olakim yivakesh es nirdav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish on the Yom Hadin HaGadol the aggressor for all of the crime he committed against the victim. And all of the events that are going to happen in the case at the end of the days is already been predetermined. Okay. Well, the Targum, when he says, the Targum says, "Besof Yamin." The Targum says, "Look at the Targum. Look at the words. Besof Yomaya." At the end of days, he did not need to say those words. Besof Yomaya. The word Besof Yomaya, you're right. Technically, you can tell me it means later days, but the flavor of the pasuk seems to say it means Yimos HaMashiach, Olam Haba. Mad osil lim heve besof yomaya. Rashi couldn't say like Rashi. What did Rashi say? Malihios od bo acharona. Later, acharona means at the end, and he doesn't use the word acharona is not such a strong term. Who dugmas masha kvar hoya kasher bo yishayna kein ba acharona ina kol shvachem mishana midos ba olam. Hashem is not going to change his midos.
The next line in the Targum, Yom Adina
Rabba. Right, that's clear. That's clear. That's clear. And also, then he goes on. Yom Adina Rabba. Asa Hashem lid midma chashicha ulimiskein. Hashem is going to make a din v'cheshbon and going to bring darkness to min yidohi derishaya and punish the victim, punish the aggressor because of what he did to his victim. Okay. Because Sof Yom Maya and Yom Hadin HaGadol, the Yom Hadin HaGadol and the word Sof Yom Maya has a connotation of the times, the end of days. The end times, which includes, we don't know, Rambam says, no one knows what's going to be with Yimos HaMashiach, Elam Haba, Gan Eden, we don't know, but it just means the world different than the way we know it today.
Did you mention the
Medrash? I'm going to mention the Medrash. A whole list of Vigyan. It's a long Medrash. I'm not going to go through all of it.
What's
funny is that
what's strange, you mentioned Shaul HaMelech.
Yeah.
Was the Nirga from the Plishtim.
Right.
And when he was running the show,
he was also an aggressor.
Right.
So once you mentioned, let me read you the Medrash. You want me to mention the Medrash goes through a long list. Rashi only mentioned two. Rashi mentioned Yaakov and Esav, and he mentioned Klal Yisrael versus Mitzrayim. The Medrash mentions quite a long list. Yeah. Okay, let me read you the Medrash. Give me one moment, please, to turn to the page. Yeah?
What is the victim of Rashi? I have a concept of
Mashiach,
and what was his concept?
Shlomo HaMelech thought or wanted to be Mashiach. That's clear as day. Shlomo HaMelech wanted to be the Melech HaMashiach.
So he had a concept of Melech.
Absolutely.
Of Mashiach.
I mean,
he reached the concept of Melech.
No, he wanted to be the Mashiach. He wanted to be the Melech HaMashiach. And that, in fact, as the Chazal say this over and over, that is why he married all of these women. He wanted to bring the whole world. The main goal of Melech HaMashiach is to be an Or La'anan. See, we live in this ghetto mentality. Even the Renaissance men among us. We live in a ghetto society where we think that Mashiach is just coming for us. You can't escape that machshava. Okay, what's going to be Melech HaMashiach? He's going to be a big Rosh Hashiva, and he's going to deal with and the goyim. Stay away from the Goyim. The world's going to continue to exist, and no one's going to bother us. Everyone's going to have parnasa. Everyone's going to have good health. Shidduchim. Everything's going to be fine. And the world outside of our little ghetto, outside the Borough Park in Lakewood, is going to continue to exist the way it was. Mashiach, they'll know about Mashiach. They'll be in the news occasionally. From Chazal, it's Mamash Pumfakert. The main role of Mashiach is not even for us. You know why? Because we're not interested. We're not interested in having people tell us what to do. Some people will tell other people what to do. The Melech HaMashiach is here to straighten out the world.
It's the universal Mashiach.
The Umos HaOlam. How many Jews are there in the world today? Estimates are approximately 14, 15 million Jews. No one has any real way of knowing how many Jews. There's a whole debate now if we have replenished the number since the Holocaust. Okay, there's been a lot of people have been writing about this, talking about this, that some want to say now after 70 years since in the Holocaust, we are at the same number of Jews in the world that existed pre-war, pre-World War II.
Yeah, but as a percentage of the total world population, we're a lot smaller.
As a percent, because the population, I didn't think about that. Interesting. The world population, well, has grown. I didn't think that's a very good point. And I never read about that. That we've gotten smaller because the world has gotten bigger since World War II. Okay, that's a very interesting point. But how many people lived before World War II? So really, no one knows. There's no real way to know. The big mumchum say it's approximately 15 million. And today, 6 million, of course, we know, and even the experts say it's really closer to 7 million. That's a number that people are talking about a lot more in the Holocaust. It was closer to 7 million that were killed. A lot of new things have been discovered since the Holocaust. And today, we're coming close to that number. The big mumchim, after this news report came out about, I'd say a year ago, they came and they said it's not true. The big experts said that we're still off, we still have a way to go. They still claim that we're off.
They don't want to include Stalin's
murders. Okay, they whatever it is. But okay, but going back, Yivakesh. Yivakesh, so Melech HaMashiach, who is the Melech HaMashiach coming for? From Chazal, you look in Chazal, the main focus is not for us. Melech HaMashiach is to be an Or La'anim. It's for the Umos HaOlam, the world at large. And therefore, Shlomo HaMelech, that's what he tried to accomplish. Shlomo HaMelech was the Melech of Klal Yisrael. That was easy. That was, relatively speaking, easy. He was trying to bring the whole world under his control. And to do that, he married the princess from every single king in the world. And that way, he had a connection through their daughter to other world powers, and they were under his influence. Exactly, Hashem was premature. It wasn't Hashem was the maskin. It was the time was not yet right.
The Mashiach unifies the world, then he can undertake the really hard task.
Klal Yisrael. Jews. Exactly. Exactly.
He ain't touching that.
That is the impossible, right? Okay.
I thought it was the Jews that had
the Jews.
The Mashiach, are we worthy of Mashiach coming?
The Jews,
and then when Mashiach comes, it takes the whole world will benefit by it?
The whole world, I'm sorry, say it again. When Mashiach comes,
don't we control where the Mashiach comes? We have to be worthy.
We control when Mashiach comes, but Mashiach is supposed to control us. It's supposed to control us. You know, I heard the Shabbos someone speak about that, the parsha of Melech. Soim tasim alecha Melech. There's a lot of commentators discussed what was the chait when Klal Yisrael asked Shmuel for a Melech. He went berserk.
Not for the correct reason.
What?
They wanted not. They didn't.
So it was not. So what was not the correct? What exactly was the chait in the way they asked for a king? So there's a long list. Every commentator says an idea. The Kleyakar, again, there are many mahalachim. What exactly was the chait? The Kleyakar says the chait was the soim tasim alecha Melech. When you appoint the Melech, you're supposed to give the Melech control, authority. Absolute authority. The chait was that you have to read the words carefully in Sefer Shmuel. They wanted to. They were going to control the Melech like a democracy. Ain the puppet, right? But that melech, you, we want a melech, but you know there are going to be checks and balances. Checks and balances. You'll be the melech as long as you do what we want you to do. Then everything is good. We're not going to give you full autonomy. And that was the chet. Okay, so the Melech HaMashiach has to have that full control over Klal Yisrael. Let's go to the Medrash. The Medrash over here gives a very long list. He mentions, I'll run through it very, very quickly. The Medrash begins, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Rabbi, this is a Medrash in Kehelas, in Vayikra Rabba, Perek Chof Zayin. It says as follows: Rabbi Yehuda bar Rabbi Simoy Namar b'Shem Rabbi Yehuda bar Rabbi Nahrai Li'olam Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yitayves Adam Shal Nirdafin. Hashem always seeks out the victim. Min Haroidfim Teidelcha Shekeinu Shekein Hevel. Who was the first victim in the world?
Hevel.
Hevel was the first victim. Hevel Nirdaf Mibnei Kaidu Bochav Hakadosh Baruch Hu BeHevel Shneamar Vayisha Hashem El Hevel V'El Mincha. So Hashem turned to Hevel unto his Mincha. Noach, who was the second victim in the world? Noach, who was pursuing him? The whole world. Noach was a loner. Noach nirdaf mipnei doroi v'lebarach HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'noach v'shnemar ki oischar yis yitzarek lefanav dar hazeh. Third victim, Avraham, he was a victim. Nirdaf mipnei Nimrod, who was the aggressor. U'barach HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Avraham v'shnemar atu Hashem Elohim Asher bocharta be'Avram. Who was the fourth victim? Yitzchak. Who was the aggressor? Pelishtim. Nirdaf and Pelishtim. Baruch Kadosh Baruch Hu Yitzchak. Shneimar. Ro'o Ro'inu Ki Choya Hashem Imach. Avimelech says, I see that Hashem was with you. When we tried to attack, when we tried to pursue, Hashem protected you. Who was the fifth victim in the world? Yaakov, very good. Yaakov, Nirdaf and Esav. Baruch Kadosh Baruch Hu Yaakov. Shneimar. Ki Yaakov. Bochar loy Hashem. Sixth victim, Yosef. Right, Nirdaf b'nei Echov. The brothers pursued him. Bochar kol shpachu b'Yosef. Shneimar Edus b'Hosef Samo. Edus bo Hashem selected Hashem. Yosef is Yosef. Hashem testified that Hashem, the testimony. Hashem set his name upon Yosef. Who was the seventh victim? Moshe. Who pursued him? Paro. Mevei Paro bochar b'Hakadosh Baruch Hu b'Moshe. Shneimar lulei Moshe v'chiro. Moshe's chosen one. When you say that we're chosen, according to the Medrash, that's a whole new meaning. It's an amazing Medrash. It gives new flavor. Whenever it says the word chosen, it means, automatically has a connotation, that someone is attacking you. And Hashem has to take sides. Who does? Hashem is not a politician. You're right, and you're right, and you're both right. Hashem is not a politician. Hashem takes sides. Moshe was his chosen one. Next, who was the eighth victim? David. David of Ibn Shaul. Okay, David Shaul was the aggressor. And now here's what you mentioned before, this amazing thing. Shaul was also a nirdaf. At one time you can be an aggressor and you can also be a nirdaf. It takes one to know one. Shaul nirdaf b'nei Pelishtim. He was also on the run. Did you see that Hashem has chosen him? Okay, and then who was the eighth? Who was the ninth victim? Klal Yisrael. Yisrael nidaf mibnei humos oilem b'chashoch b'Yisrael shnemar u'b'cho b'ocher Hashem li oislo la'am segula. Okay, fine. That ends. Nine victims. And now this is a very important chazal. You've all heard the next chazal I'm going to say. It's a very important chazal. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu select from all the numerous numbers of animals that are out there to be only a handful number of animals which are kosher for korbanos? And what are they? The shor family, the goat family, and the sheep family. Why are
the birds?
Okay, and the birds also. But let's talk about from the animals. Why only these? Why only these creatures? Why did Hashem allow a lion? Why not an eagle? Why not any of these other creatures? Because these are, by definition, in the Bria, victims. They're always on the defense. I read the words. Amar after Kabbalah, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Shor Nirdof. The axe is always being pursued by the Ari, the lion. Eis Nirdav, the goat, Nirdav b'nei Nomer, the leopard. A leopard is always trying to attack a goat. Keves, a sheep, is always being attacked with b'nei Zev, a wolf. And therefore Hashem rejected the wolf, Hashem rejected the lion, Hashem rejected the leopard, Hashem chose in their place the ox, the goat, and the sheep. Lo yisakrivu lefonai min haroifim ela min hanirdofim hadohu detema shor oy chesev oy eis ki yivolet. Okay, so it's a very important chazal based upon this pasuk. Ho Elokim yivakesh es hanirdof. Hashem seeks the victim. Yeah.
You said there were nine.
I said nine.
No, there's a tenth.
And what's the tenth? I said that.
Yes.
And maybe I don't know how to count. Maybe when I was counting, I missed the number.
You counted.
Okay, it could be okay. It could be I was mistaken.
There.
Yeah.
It says, and in several of the others, we see the term the heroes.
Right.
So
chosen.
And right, and it's that chosenness
which has the connotation
which spurs the hatred.
And so you're saying another idea. What comes first? So that's the chicken or the egg. You see, he's saying something very controversial. Over here, according to the Medrash, doesn't say that. All the Medrash says is that the chosenness comes second. We have two partners. They start out equal. Hashem is not taking sides. And one of these two becomes an aggressor. So Hashem says, I'm going to choose the victim. Oh, once Hashem now selects, he chooses, so then the kinah comes afterwards. You're suggesting that first Hashem chose one, and that brings on jealousy, and that jealousy is what leads to aggression. So no, that doesn't say that. Maybe it might be true for other reasons, but that's not what it says here in the Midrash. The Midrash over here says that the way the Midrash presents it is Hashem doesn't take sides in the beginning, and there's no reason for one to be jealous because there has not yet been a selection. It's when one creature exercises his free will and chooses to be an aggressor that triggers Hashem to come to the defense of the victim and selects the victim, and now there's chosenness, and now that chosenness may cause jealousy and further.
You wouldn't have chosen Avraham if
right.
Nimrod wouldn't have chosen Avraham.
Yeah, within each case, in some cases you could argue for the.
Both ways, in the Chanani. Well, Avraham first chose to reject the gaiva of Nimrod. Nimrod was an avodah zarah. Nimrod, Hashem said, Avraham says, is ribbono shel olam. At that point in time, we don't find Hashem taking sides. We just find that Avraham is loyal to Hashem, and Nimrod views Avraham as a threat. So now Nimrod decides to become an aggressor. Hashem says, I'm going to come to the defense of Avraham. Oh, once Hashem chooses Avraham, that turns a new cycle, a vicious cycle of jealousy. Hashem has chosen you. But who's the one? Well, you could have been the chosen one, Nimrod. No one held you back. You wanted to abuse your power to lord over the world. So you have to know where it starts. And what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Okay, let's before we go further into the next pasuk, we have three of the mahalach, we have this medrash. There was something else I wanted to mention. Okay, Elokim Yivakesh Es HaNirdof. Okay, it's another very frightening medrash. The medrash Rabbah, that same medrash it starts with, and it says, don't make any mistake and think that the rule that Hashem is Yivakesh to Nirdof only applies when one is a tzaddik and one is a rasha. We always are misled to believe that if one is the roidef, if the tzaddik, if there's an aggressor and there's a victim, automatically the victim is the tzaddik and the aggressor, the roidef, is the rasha. The Medrash says very clearly that's not necessarily the case. You could have times you have very big, great tzaddikim, the very great tzaddikim, and there are rishoyim out there in the world, and the tzaddik decides the time has come to get rid of the rasha, and the tzaddik can be viewed as an aggressor, and he can abuse his power, and he'll mislead himself and think, I'm doing a l'shem shemayim. Hashem will come to the defense of the nirduf. Okay, I'll give you an example, a controversial example. Okay, so don't hold me responsible for what if I'm. No one have to worry about it. If someone will listen to the shiur, it will be a yomtiv for me. So I don't have to worry about that. But I'll give you an example. Let's talk about what happened in Eretz Yisrael a few weeks ago, the gay parade. Okay, the gays are 100% keneged kol ha'Torah kula. There's no doubt about it. It's a to'eva. You can write books and everything you can possibly want to say. But doesn't give a right to a person to go kill someone that is participating in a gay parade. And when this horrible tragedy happened, where when a meshugana, who's questionable if he's even a normal person, if he's 100% bedas, went and murdered, stabbed with six people, and one of them, well, how many people died? Two people died. One person died. One girl died. So the whole world, including all of the Haredim, as far as I know, at least not all, so there are some Shugayim out there, okay, but at least 99% of people that are Shomer Torah Mitzvahs and will tell you that this is mamish a to'eva, and it's a chil Hashem in the Yerushalayim HaKodesh to do such a thing, you have no right to be a Rodev. These people may, in our eyes, be Rishayim. Okay, let's go to the extreme. Not, you know, there's a lot of talk about you know, it's a toev and it's awesome, but people, Rahman al-Slan, some people are not the genetic makeup, whatever, not going there. But let's say you want to view the Mamash b'chol ha-tekef with the full intensity of the Rishayim, you have no right to go and kill them. It's Shalai Kedin. Who's the Nirduf and who's the Roidef? The tzaddikim are the roitvim, and the rishoyim are the nirdofim. And who? What? It's kineged kol ator. I told you. That's what I told you. Yeser seis. Let's just make believe. Let's make believe. I know you can't put levels. I'm just giving you an example with this. What the medrash says. Let's say it's mamish. The Torah describes this as the worst of the worst. A to'eva. How many things are called a to'eva? To do it publicly in Yerushalayim HaKodesh. You want to say it's mamish, the worst. But they are still their nirdofim. Yeah. Because you have no right to do what you have done. You're nirdofim. And the Medrash writes this, what it says over here. I read you the Medrash. It's a very frightening Medrash. Right? And who does Hashem side with? The Medrash says, so it's one thing, you know, Hashem is on the side of the nirdof. But the nirdof, you know what the nirdof represents? He represents kneged kol ha'Torah kula. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He's a nirdof. And you're the roidef. And we don't care who's the tzaddik and who's the rasha. It's irrelevant if you're a tzaddik and you're a rasha, who is the roidif and who is the nirdif. The Medrash says, V'elukim yivakech es nirdif, Rav Huna b'shem Rav Yosef, Aymer li oylam. Rav Huna b'shem Rav Yosef Aymer. Let me read you the words. It's very frightening. The someone should have quoted this Chazal and all these commentaries, all these blocks. La'olam v'la'olam. In every instance, v'ho Elokim yivakesh es nirdof. Atamot say there are situations, tzaddik roidef tzaddik. You have two Rosh Hashivas killing each other. Two rabbis killing each other. Who gets the chassidus? Right? Tzaddik. The good people, you can't say they're not good people. Just in this particular matter, when it comes to covenant money, who's the Baal of us?
It's the exception.
What? So it doesn't matter. The tzaddik, roidef tzaddik, Hashem, whose side is Hashem on? Hashem will automatically take the side of the victim. HaKadosh Elokim Yivakesh Nirdof. And then you have easy. Rasha, roidef tzaddik, of course, that's Pashit. Hu Elokim Yivakesh Nirdof. Rasha, roidef Rasha. What do you care? Remember the war, Iran, Iraq. My father used to tell me, Iran and Iraq, when they were fighting, this before my time. My father used to say, you give each one a brach. Usually matzliach. And usually matzliach. That's exactly what Reagan did, right? Isn't that what he did?
That also, what? He asked them about the Iran-Iraq war. He says that the bad thing about it is somebody's eventually going to win.
Someone's going to win. So that's so Russia. Right? If whose side does Hashem favor? They're both evil. The axis of evil. Whose side is Hashem on? Hashem takes sides. Hashem, the one that's the victim. If you want to make an evaluation, who was treated more harshly? Hashem takes side of the victim. And here what it says: Afilu, make no mistake about it. Okay, if not for this medrash, I don't know if you really a person would go have the guts to say this. I don't know if like on the blogs, the people you know that they've what happened with the gay parade, their people are very torn. They're very. I mean, I shouldn't say that's not really so. Murder is murder. But you know it's how far are you going to use the language you're going to use to condemn? I shouldn't say that's not really true. Murder is murder. But what it says here, afilu tzaddik roidef rasha. Even if in your book, it's the worst of the worst, and the other people are tzaddikim, it doesn't matter. Ho Elokim yivakesh es nirdof. Hashem will take revenge. Hashem will seek out the vengeance of the victim. Who's the victim? The Russia's the victim. Because you have no right to cross this line. Yeah.
Story of a lady named Shimon who killed Shem and the whole city.
The
whole city. They didn't do anything
right.
Wrong.
Right. Well, that's
and because of that, Levi got pulled.
Okay, that's a. You see that story, Chazal. There's a lot more information that needs to be. That's a different time, and a different circumstances, and there's a lot of information that we has to be introduced, processed, and there's a lot of things that we don't know. So we can't really. You have to look in Chazal when you're dealing with the Ma'aseh of Din and Shechem. Okay, but this is a very powerful medrash. This is in Vayikra Rabba Perek Chof Zayin.
What about Sonei Yisrael also?
Yeah.
Okay.
What about Sonei Yisrael?
What about
Sonei Yisrael? They're a victim. Like taking anything that happens to the Palestinians, you know, that sometimes the soldier, does that mean that any time a soldier is enacting a self-defense?
No, you have to, you can't generalize. Every situation is different, obviously.
Right. But
every situation, when you cross the line, you do things that are against,
right,
against what's accepted, then in a chanami.
My phone is off.
Can you check your phone?
Answer off. He's not home. Tell him he's not home.
Somebody's phone is working.
So is this.
Somebody's phone is working.
So you can say tomorrow from all this is not to do any fighting?
No, you have to know where the limits are.
Yeah.
Somebody's phone is working.
This is that. This is how Shlomo Melech had his 1,000 wives beeping in every second.
Alright, whatever it is, this is what it says in the Medrash. Okay, let's go on to the next pasuk. We have a few more minutes. Let's go to the next pasuk. You want to check my phone? That ringtone I never heard. Can't be my phone.
My grandson's fooling around.
No, it can't be. Alright, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk test. Pasuk test. Vav. The Oid Ra'is Tezayin. Okay, one more pasuk. The Oid Ra'is Tachas Hashemesh Mekam HaMishpat. This is a hard pasuk. The Oid Ra'is Tachas Hashemesh. I've also made the following observation. Mekam HaMishpat Shama Horesha. Mekam HaTzedek Shama Horosha. Okay, nice to read this pasuk. In the place of Mishpat, there is wickedness. And in the place of righteousness, there you'll also find wickedness. So basically, now we're going to see then numerous interpretations. Let's see this first. And to this is very pessimistic in all of these psukim. He's always looking for a negative twist. And he says both halves of these psukim have to be interpreted in the negative. in the Mishpat, and it appears there appears to be a little bit of repetition. Let's see Pasuk Tezayin in Mitzudos. Torah Tachas Hashemesh B'zech Olam, the Tachas means in this world, Mokom Shashemesh Reach, in this world, Mikoyim HaMishpat. What's the Mishpat? Mikoyim HaMuchon L'Shev Sham Lishpat Bein Ish L'Re'eyu, the place where we serve to judge men and his friend, and the man against his friend, Shom HaResha Nishapich L'Yashom HaMokoyim HaResha. Corruption. The place of the court of law is turned into being a place of corruption. They sit there in court, wicked people who plan to use their power and authority to corrupt, to pervert justice, and to cause evil things to happen. Same exact thing in the place that was meant to be a place of tzedek, of righteousness, a place of judgment. Shama yeshev gam harasha v'yasitem, and he incites the righteous people in Mishpat acharei das hamishubosh, after a corrupt understanding. For money. Money, they pay some, a judge some money, right away becomes corrupt and he's willing to do resha. For money you can buy everything. Even a shofet who's a soine betza. Money can buy anything. You know, it's the power of money. And that's what the pasuk is according to the parish of the...
Why do you have to say money? Where does money come from?
How else? Mokom Yeshivas Anshei Atzedek Shama Yeshev Gam Harasha V'yasitem, and he will incite. He will incite Acharei Das HaMeshubash. He will cause the people, the judges, the people of Tzadikim. He will corrupt them. He will corrupt their minds. Okay, you're right. They can corrupt. He will corrupt their minds with.
One is right and one is wrong, right?
Right.
Well, that's wrong. He's
the Rasha. He's going to go to incite the tzaddik to do the wrong thing. So basically, according to the Mesudas, there's repetition. The pasuk is basically saying exactly the same thing twice. The place of Mishpat is a place where there should be tzaddik. And the place of Mishpat is turned into a place of wickedness, and the place of the pasuk basically repeats itself twice. That's pretty much what it says here according to the Mesudas. Now let's see Rashi. Mekoyim HaMishpat Re'isi Baruch HaKodesh. So here he says, Rashi right away jumps to the Medrash, and he's referring to the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. Remember, Shlomo was running this B'Sof Yamav, not long after he built the Beis HaMikdash. And he sees that in 410 years, or approximately 410 years, the Beis HaMikdash will come to an end. Nebuchadnezzar and all of his officers will enter into the Beis HaMikdash, and they will set up a base. They'll set up a base inside the Lishkas Hagazis. So that's what he wants to say, that this Mokum, the Lishkas Hagazis that I have built, and I have designated to be a place of Tzedek, a place of Mishpat, I see up in Ruach HaKodesh, the day will come when the evil Nebuchadnezzar with his officers and generals will enter and set up this location as his command center to destroy the Beis HaMikdash and to destroy Yerushalayim. Which in the past, due to my tenure, was the place of Mishpat. Shama Yishpitu Resha. Their evil will be judged. Now, what is it referring to? Just will be corrupt. What do you mean? Commotion, Amar? No, I already jumped to the next parish. Give me one moment. Let's. I know that will become corrupt. One thing at a time. First, Al Derech Pshat. I know Piruch HaKodesh that the Lishkas HaGozis in due time will become corrupt. Rosheh, as it says in Eicha, Micha, Rosheha, its leaders. This is probably what I was referring to when I said the Mitzudos. I probably was influenced by this Rashi from preparing. B'Shoichad Yishpo. Will judge through bribery. Re'isi pur anusam, and I see what their punishment will come upon them, will come upon them. Okay, mokim hatzedek. Now, Rashi adds and doesn't end the pasuk. Re'isi pur anusam, I don't know where Rashi got that from. I've seen the mokim hamishpat, I see shom haresha, it's going to turn into a place of corruption. Next part, mokim hatzedek, repetition, same thing, we're referring to lishkas hagozis. Shar HaTavach, the middle gate. Shehoyah Mokom Chituch Halachos, it was the place, now why is it called the place where they would slice halachos, where Hoira, law, would trickle down to Klal Yisrael. Shom HaResha, Shom Yashu Sar Sachim. That was the name of a person. He's listed in Sefer Yirmiyah. Rav Saris, he was a general. He was the chief general. Nargel is also the name of a person. And another person, Shar Etzer. And another person called Rav Mag, and that's another person, and Nebuchadnezzar, the Chayloisav, the Donin Es Yisrael Bi Yisurim Koshim Umishpitei Moves. There they will set up a command center where they will execute their commands to bring Chorban to Klal Yisrael. So he's saying that the place of Tzedek is basically the same idea, the Lishkas Hagozes. Now, the Pshuta Shal Mikra, and you go to Yerbi, where this pasuk is quoted, it says there were three gates in Yerushalayim. There was the Shar HaChitzain, the Shar HaPnimi, and the Shar HaTovech, the middle gate. And these are referring to different points of access, of entry into Yerushalayim. And the Pshuta Shal Mikra is the place, the middle gate, is where Nebuchadnezzar, it says in the pasuk, they all came and they entered and they sat down and they set up their command center. But according to Rashi, it appears to saying a little different, that their command center is really in the Lishkas Hagozes, and that's called the Shar, that's called the Mekayim HaTzedek, because that's the place where righteous dinim would go forth to Klal Yisrael. And here I see Piruch HaKodesh, that is going to be a very big korban. That's there's going to be a korban in the time of the Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah, because since they became corrupt and they accepted bribes and they turned the place into a place of resha, so Bida Keneged Bida, Kadosh Baruch Hu brought about that when Nebuchadnezzar came into Yerushalayim, he set up his command center in this location. From there, he did terrible, horrible things to Klal Yisrael as a punishment to Klal Yisrael. Now, Rashi now just goes on to discuss some grammatical issues. Shama Horosha. This question is, why is it Mila El? The emphasis on the syllable under the resh and not under the shin. Shama Horosha, Ta'amo Lamala, the emphasis is on the beginning of the word, on the resh. Loimashu Shem Davar, it's a noun. It's a noun, a place of, it doesn't mean to act wicked, it's a place of wickedness. Kamoi Harosha, an individual who is evil. Now that's the case, it should be resha. So why then does it turn into a komatz and not a segol? Elog, whenever you have a resha, a rasha normally resha means wickedness. It's a descriptive term, which is adjective. So why then is it written with a komatz? Ela lefisha who soif very one this partially which who soif pasuk since the end of the pasuk nebach linoked komatz gadol, so we turn a segel into a komatz gadol. The afal pisha b'chol makom loy matzinu lo oid shem habech afal pisha shem makom loy matzinu loy oid shem habech be'esnacht of soif pasuk. Even though we don't find the word, you know, there are exceptions. Even though generally, even when the word resha appears in the pasuk, normally it's spelled with a segol, but here is an exception. Here is in the pasuk, so here it says, for whatever reason, it says it with, Zoli Rashi says, with a komatz gadol. Okay, let's see the targum. Targum pasuk tes zayin. Targum says, v'oid chazesi t'choy shimsha. Then I've also seen in this world, asar beis dina di dayone shikra, the place, the bezdin, in which they judge sheker, tamon yichayvun lezakoa, there they are mechayv the tzaddik lemipak, to go out, chayova bedinei. So I've seen the place, the makam hamishpat. The makam hamishpat, according to the Targum, is the place of a corrupt bezdin. And this corrupt bezdin, they paskin, they decide that the tzaddik is guilty. The asar de mishtechas tamon gevar zakai, a place where they see a person who's innocent, tamon mishtechach guvra chayovin. And in that place, where you find a person who's innocent, there you'll find. And the place where you find a righteous person, tamon there, mishtakach you'll find, guvr chayova, the mishlat bey, to rule, an evil person to rule over him, begin choyve dorabisha, due to the sins of the evil generation. Okay, so he's just saying over there, basically saying the same idea as Rashi, that in the place of Mishpat Shomo HaResha, Mokam HaTzedek Shomo HaRasha, this is the repetition, it appears, that in the place in a place where you have tzaddikim who are meant to be judged favorably, there's corruption, they are judged as being guilty. And why? He adds in because of the sins of the generation. It's because that's why there is corruption in the courts. Let me just tell you before we conclude, just an idea. Okay, the Mekubal, Rabbi Elio Galikoi, he has a homiletic interpretation of this pasuk, and he says as follows. It's a very powerful interpretation. The Odu is tachas hashamesh. I've seen the Mekayim Hamishpat. I've seen that in this world, at times HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the one that's exercising mishpat, not like what Rashi, the Mitzudos, and the Targum says, where it refers to Bezdin, but rather Hashem. Hashem in this world at times exercises midas hadin, mishpat. How do people react to midas hadin? How are you supposed to react, Rahman al-Utslan, when things are not going your way? So a person is supposed to be matzdik olav es hadin and say, I deserve it. If I've suffered a loss, it must be, I deserve it. Hashem is giving me what I deserve. And if even though I do not understand it, I have to believe, I have emunah, that I deserve it. But unfortunately, the vast majority of mankind says Hashem is guilty. Shama Horesha. They say, Ribbono Shel Olam, you are guilty. I do not deserve this. U'mekaymat Tzedek, and sometimes Hashem is very kind to man. Hashem bestows tzedakah. What should a person do? He should say, Ribbono Shel Olam, thank you very much. I don't deserve this. The only reason why you're giving this to me is because I have a mission. I should use this success to honor you, to use the money to give it to good causes. But what do people do? Shama Horosha, they deny that Hashem has done for them good, and they fail to make use of that opportunity. So Shlomo HaMelech, according to this interpretation, is very pessimistic. He's very critical of man's behavior in this world. Ruba de ruba, when man suffers, he blames Hashem. And when Hashem is good to him, he denies that it was Hashem's doing. Hashem didn't do it, I did it on my own. Or if Hashem, even if I, Hashem gave me, too bad for you, Hashem. I'm gonna be a kafu taiva. So it's a whole new interpretation. He's changing the focus from the mishpat in this world to Hashem's mishpat, and he's focusing on man's reaction to Hashem's mishpat. The oidri is tachas hashamesh, the koim hamishpat, in a place where Hashem exercises midas hadin. How does man react? You'll see mubdruba shama horesha. You're guilty. How dare you do this? And you'll see that in times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good to man, man ignores the fact that Hashem is the one who bestowed bracha. There is wickedness as well. Powerful interpretation. Very different than what Rashi and the Mitzudah say. Okay, another example is, another interpretation is, B'mokayim ha-mishpat efshu la'sois harbe resha im anin hadin. Okay, another interpretation is that v'yodizach la'shamesh b'mokayim ha-mishpat shama ha-resha. That this interpretation is from the Mechlol Yofi, Sefer called Mechlol Yofi. He says that we're referring to judgment in court, that unfortunately the courts are corrupt. Courts are corrupt, and when they punish a person, they overdo it. Mekoyim hamishpat, I've seen too often in life that a court hands down judgment, the person is guilty, and they overdo it. Shama horesha, they declare people who are tzaddikim, they declare them rishama, like what Rashi says, but here's the difference. Mekoyim hatzedek, unfortunately, I've also seen that when people do tzedakah, when people do tzedakah, shama horasha, they do it the wrong way. When people give tzedakah, they'll only give tzedakah if they get in return kavod. They'll get tax break. they'll get something out of it. They're not willing to do tzedakah, tzedek, in a way that is 100% righteous. They use mitzvahs of tzedakah as an opportunity to do wickedness. So it's also a very critical interpretation. I've seen that in places of the court, the first part is this symbol, the place of court where there is mishpat, there's corruption. And I've also seen people who do good things in this world, they get a little carried away with themselves, and they use those opportunities to do work for the klal. Right? They want to work for the klal Yisrael, and they have positions, high positions in shuls and organizations, and what do they do with all their tzedek? Rasha, wickedness. They embezzle the money for themselves, or they hire nepotism, they hire people who don't deserve only because they've been influenced. They use situations of tzedek to do rasha. Okay, so we have Sacha calling really four interpretations. We have Rashi and the Targum. We have the Targum, we have Metzudas David, we have Rashi, and we have over here these two in the Targum and these two interpretations as well. Okay, so we'll stop over here. Mm-hmm.